IOU Ring is getting better and better with every kernel release. This time, they enabled zero copy between socket buffers, a very interesting feature that I want to explore. Let's jump into it. Operating systems, their kernel specifically, orchestrate many processes. It allows access to memory, disk, network, and execute processes by scheduling them to the CPU. It does sound simple, but when you put it this way, the task is actually very vast. Writing efficient programs depends on how much understanding the engineer has in the OS kernel. For example, when we access a 32-bit integer in memory or write 6-byte to disk, the kernel and hardware work together through several steps and layers to handle those tasks, simple as they may seem. Each step and layer may add unpredictable costs. As a result, we as engineers are bound to write inefficient code as we grind across the grain of the kernel. I built this course to demystify what I believe are the fundamentals of operating systems to software engineers. By knowing how the kernel works, you will start writing software differently and naturally, as you will start questioning what happens in each line of code you author. If you're interested, head to oscourse.win, that is oscourse.win, to grab the course and a coupon. I hope you really enjoyed it. It took me around 2 years to research and build out this course. I hope you really enjoy it. Now back to the podcast. This comes from Foronix. IOU Ring, bringing better send zero copy performance with Linux 6.10. Let's read a little bit of the a blurb of this article, and then I want to talk more about what is zero copy and how it is really critical. Linux IO expert and subsystem maintainer Jens Expo, he's basically the godfather of IOU Ring. He's the one who built it. Has submitted all of the IOU Ring feature updates ahead of the imminent 6.10 merge window. Exciting on the IOU Ring front, this cycle is to greatly improve the send zero copy performance. This big performance improvement for zero copy send is thanks to coalescing of send buffers. We'll talk about what that means. Yeah? So here's a quote: greatly improve send zero copy performance by enabling coalescing of sent buffers. Message zero copy already does that with send two and send message two, but the IOU Ring side did not. In local testing, the crossover point for send zero copy being faster is now around 3000 byte packets, and it performs better than the sync syscall variants as well. This feature relies on shared branch with by the branches. So I want to talk about the little bit more about this. So if you don't know, IOU Ring is an asynchronous interface that allows you to make system calls without blocking the client application or the client process. You see, when you make calls like read, accept, write, all of these are blocking operation. That is, when you make them, the kernel switches into what we call the kernel mode. It switches the CPU into kernel mode and it starts reading from the kernel code. And you can't really do anything in that meanwhile, because the CPU is being elevated to read the upper section of the process, which is essentially mapped to the kernel code, and it's really dangerous. So you're out of the user space. Now you can essentially access the system stuff and you start calling all this beautiful, code, the kernel code, right? And when you do that, like doing a read from a socket, let's not talk about files for now, just like a socket, a connection, right? I'm reading data from this particular connection that I have on my backend application with a client, right? If you want to read, then there is a possibility that if there is no data, the client just didn't send you anything, you'll be blocked. That is, when you made that function, the rest of your code will not never be executed. That is, you're just sitting idle there as a process, right? And if that ever happens, the CPU will notice that, well, the kernel will notice that and says, oh, well, get out of this CPU core. This is a precious core. We can't really wait for you for doing I/O. Get out. Let me do my own thing. Let's bring in a better process that actually uses the CPU. And that's basically the blocking case. So asynchronous came in with so many things, you know, approaches to solve this called EPOL. Well, first select, then EPOL, and then finally IOU ring. This is a whole episode by itself discussing all this. I talk about that in detail in my OS course. Check it out, oscourse.win, if you're interested to learn more about this stuff. It's really a beautiful journey that the kernel developer went through to solve this, you know, to make it such that when I make a call and I'm about to be blocked, let me know that I'm about to block so I can do other things, you know? Or even better, tell me that this thing is ready. That's EPOL, you know? Like, here's a bunch of connections. Just tell me whatever is ready, I'm going to call them. I don't want to call read on a connection that is not ready and be blocked. So that's how one way we solved. Well, that resulted in a lot of chattiness with EPOL, so we moved to a completionist approach, just like Windows. Windows does that. Yeah? Like, let me, you do the work. I'll just tell you what I want. Whenever you feel like it, kernel, do the actual read. Put it put the result in somewhere and let me read that result. Okay, so that's basically how, in very simple terms, how IOU ring works, and this is possible because the kernel and the user are sharing one memory, and this introduced so many, you know, security vulnerabilities that have been fixed, but it led Google to paying around $1 million, you know, for the security researchers who found these permits, so vulnerabilities. So Google decided, let's just disable IOU ring because it's not stable yet. Google just didn't want to pay a lot of money to find actually all these issues. So they just say, whenever it's ready, it's going to be ready. So yeah, and that kind of put a lot of, negative connotation to IOU ring, unfortunately, although it's a great product. But it's getting better. All these things, bugs are always everywhere. It's at the end of the day, right? You're going to always, if there is a new thing and it's popular, everybody will be on it and they will find issues. It's just the nature of the beast. Okay, so that's IOU ring. Now, let's talk about this particular enhancement, which is zero copy. To talk about zero copy, I want to go to the whiteboard. Zero copy can be done by many methods. Send message. There's also send file altogether. Send file, all of that stuff. This basically sends data from one socket to another socket. So that is from one connection, for example, to another connection. Like, hey, whatever I received on this connection, I want to pipe it to another connection. Right? Example is a proxy. That's how proxies, in a very layer 4-ish approach. That is, I don't just blindly read anything from the client side and then blindly write it to a backend. Right, connection. So you have two connections from one side and another, and I want to transmit the data, right? So how does that actually work? Well, without this, before we talk about zero copy, let's talk about what is copy, right? What is actually happening here? So what is the difference between a copy and a zero copy? So I drew a few diagrams here. I'll explain it here for the people listening in the podcast. We have, let's say, a reverse proxy. And you have an origin backend, and you have a client. So the client connects to the proxy connects to the backend. And your job is simply anything that the client send, we want to send it to the origin backend. So technically, you as a reverse proxy can have, you have two connections. You have two sockets. One that is facing the client, we call this the front end connection often. And then one that is the back end connection or the upstream connection. So you have two connections, two sockets. And you want to send any data that comes from one socket to the where? To the back end, to the upstream connection. Well, to do that, really, it's an interesting operation. So how do I do that? How do I send data from one, from this connection, to the upstream connection? Well, the way we do it today, forget about zero copy, is read and write. So you need to read from one connection, which, what does it do? What does a read do? Well, it's a blocking operation. Forget about now blocking or asynchronous. Regardless, you read it. Where does it go? It goes to your user space because it's a copy. You're copying it from the kernel because where does the data live? Where does the TCP IP stuff live? It's in the kernel. Any data that you receive from the TCP or UDP goes first to the kernel, and it's called the receive buffer of the connection. So it lives there. So if you read it, then it is copied to a buffer that you allocated with malloc in your user space, right? In your area. Because the entire thing that we're looking at here is one process. Even the kernel area, there is a tiny area, not really tiny, but there is an area that is mapped of your process mapped to the kernel space that you cannot access. Only when your process or the CPU is switched to a kernel mode. Then it's all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I can see all of this stuff. You know, it's like a superhero getting all the powers all of a sudden and then forgets that it has a fire. That's how your process feels like when it moves from user mode to kernel mode. So you're copying this stuff only to just what? To write it back to the another stinking socket. Yikes. So this is not only, first of all, it involves a read to the CPU, right? Then it goes to the buffers of the CPU and then the caches. The registers, and then there is another command that says, okay, now write it to a memory, right? This is the user memory. Then from the user space memory, you write it again to another space in the kernel memory. So that's another kernel switch. Not only you're incurring copies, you're incurring kernel. Switch back. You're switching back from kernel mode to user mode. Kernel mode, user mode. Because every time you call a system call, that's a switch, the kernel mode. So you're flushing few registers to memory. Because the user, the kernel needs some of those CPU registers. So you're flushing those to the memory. To the memory. So there is a cost to the kernel switch. There's a cost to copying, cost to all of this stuff. So there is a cost to everything. So that's the nasty one, right? So you're copying data over a place. Then writing it to the, of course, once you write it to the send buffer, it will immediately just leave like a train station, like a Shinkansen. We'll just like, ugh, we'll go to the backend. Now, zero copy, how does it work? Well, you told me that to send the data between this connection to this connection. Well, both of them live in the kernel, so I can play trickery. What I can do is, hey, I'll allocate an area and the address in the B, in the upstream connection, and they just have it, because we're using beautiful virtual memory, have the address point to the same address that the receive buffer of the front-end connection is. And all of a sudden, both of you are pointing to the same thing. Just like that, you did the job. No user data involved, no user space data involved, no copies, no kernel switch. Well, you did do a kernel switch to call this function that's called send to send data over. But that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. And all of a sudden, woo, you switched. You just send the data. Now, so that's what zero copy is. That's one approach to do zero copy. There are many ways. There is DMA as well, does zero copy. But this is how you do from one socket to another. And that's how I already implemented this, right? Now, there is a little more details like when do you activate this mode, when it's actually worth it, right? Like if you have enough data in the receive buffer, that is, you have a lot of packets and you start coalescing those packets, i.e. all these small segments, remove all their headers and put them in one big data with one header. That's called TCP coalescing. Coalesce, group all of these together. So one thing about zero copy that cannot always happen is TLS, SSL. If you want to send something from one data to another connection and you was using SSL or TLS, those guys, you cannot just take encrypted data from one socket, send it to another socket that is also encrypted. It doesn't make any sense. The backend is using completely different encryption key from the client, from actual origin client. So you cannot do that, right? So you have sometimes to copy it to user space to do OpenSSL, because OpenSSL lives in the user space. It's just another application, the shared library that you map to, right? Now, I don't know anything. I know there was effort to put OpenSSL or do SSL in the kernel. I don't know much about that. I know it's not straightforward. Maybe there are ways, but as far as I know, I don't think you can do SSL easily in the kernel. You can do TCP, IP in the kernel. With that said, that's what I wanted to talk about here. Zero copy. IOU ring. It's getting better and better and better. I hope people give it a chance. I hope, because it's just getting better and better. And they really, really deserve to be starting to be used, right? In the wild. See you in the next one.